All right, man. Let me get myself together here and get my notes where I need to be. Proverbs 22 and verse number 26. Proverbs 22 and verse number 26. I've been teaching a series on Sunday school. If you're not accustomed to going to Sunday school, I understand, especially with having children, it's hard to get up and get going. It starts at 10 a.m., and we're dealing with a lot of family, raising children. And so that has been in my mind. And one of the specific things I didn't able to cover in one of my lessons was in regards to teenagers. And you know, I've been making fun of my wife and I, because we're old enough and we've been married enough, we have a bona fide teenager. We have one. Is that wild? We have a teenager living amongst us in my home. All right? She's a wonderful young lady, and she has a walk with the Lord. She's saved. She's been baptized. She's involved in the ministry of our church, and just a thrill to have as my daughter. And so I'm in a new area of learning. Children are different than teenagers. And so I'm going to bring a message tonight, this morning I should say, see, I'm really messed up, regarding cultivating respect and not rebellion when they get to that teenage years. And I want to talk about that this morning. A lot of times, you know, if you're in my class, our lessons just keep going because there's so much impact and so much truth that I just don't get to cover. And there was one thing that that was not even in our notes, but it was part of that lesson, and I took out and I studied and I put together into a sermon. So that's what I'm going to do this morning. But please pray. Pastor Cole is going to make more announcements of it. But we used to have a family that come to the church in the bus in Angola, and that's the Crone family. And if you remember, one of the young ladies there is Monica. And Monica grew up with me in the youth group, and she had, I believe, four kids. And her mom, I know, passed away not too long ago. And then now her sister passed away not too long ago. And we heard some sad news just this weekend that her son, one of her sons, Joseph, passed away at 17 years of age. And so Pastor Cole, obviously being the pastor that they've known for a very long time, he's going to do the funeral on Thursday. All right? We're still going to have seniors' dinner. Pastor said and I will run that. But if you don't see Pastor Cole, he's going to be doing the funeral for Joseph, 17 years old. And I will not divulge to you the reason why of his death. That's something we don't need to talk about. It's a sensitive matter. So you just know, don't ask me. It's just, it's not a good situation. It's a heartbreaking situation. If you know one of his brother, Mason had a couple of times this year sat over there where Brother Stephen Cole is and has visited us and sat over there since that time. And so please pray for the Crone family, and Pastor Cole will give us more details. Some of us are planning to be there for the visiting hours. They're on Wednesday, all right? We'll make announcement to you guys so you know that. Pastor Cole, while I'm doing baptism, he'll take that time to express that to us. So please pray for that. And you know another young man that has been coming to our church, he's adopted by Pastor Pastor Heist used to be a pastor in Salamanca, but he has moved to, I believe, Carolina, somewhere in Carolina, I'm not sure, north, south, and helping another pastor. But his son remained here and is working. He's a young man in the sense of, you know, he's on his own and got a job. Well, I got a text yesterday after I got the other text that he fell off a roof this Wednesday, and he's doing construction, and he fell off the roof. And he's right now at ECMC, and he's got broken parts of his hands, broken part of his ankle. And so I'll make some time here to go visit him. But please pray for him. I don't know if he has any family here, all right, during this time. So I'll try to make some point. Maybe Pastor Seth and I, a few of the guys, will go visit and find out what's going on. But his name is Zach. So please pray for this family that is happening just recent things, okay? So let's go ahead and go to our scripture here, Proverbs, if you have your Bible. I'm not going to have you stand for the sake of time. We have a baptism. Brother Mike Wagner right over here has gotten saved since he's been here about 6 months. He used to come long ago, but he came back recently, 6 months. And Daniel. No. Your name is Daniel? No. David. Man. I'm telling you, I'm so bad with names. I thought I got it. It started the same letter now, D. David. All right, but that's his son, and they've been coming here in a little bit, and he got saved in one of the services, I believe, and he's going to follow the Lord's Believers Baptism this morning. And I know there's a few people that I was talking to you about it. Maybe after the service we can talk about it and see you getting baptized as well. All right? Proverbs chapter number 22 and verse number 6. All right? Proverbs 22 and verse number 6. And it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. He will not depart from it. Part of the responsibility of parents is for us to influence our children. Plain influence our children. To impart to them some truth. To be the leaders in their life. To lead them and guide them. And some of you are in this situation, you're parenting teenagers right now. And this is very relevant to you. Some of you, your children have grown, but your grandparents. And so please, at any rate, you can pray for us that are trying to raise children. But just because you're not raising teenagers, it doesn't mean you have no effect on our children. Especially if they're coming here. And so some of the points I'm going to make is going to make sense here. That even our senior grandmas and our senior grandpas can have an impact on all of us as a family raising children in this church. And so don't ever say, well, that's not my kid. I'm not even related to them. Well, we're related in Jesus Christ. And Christ calls this gathering a family of believers. And so it's not your ultimate responsibility to raise my kids, but you have an indirect responsibility because you're my sister and my brother in Jesus Christ to help me in raising my children. All right, and I believe I can show you that from the scripture this morning. And so it is vital, and it is something Christ talks about in how we influence our children. And how do we properly influence people? By showing respect and teaching them respect. Here's the truth I'm going to give you. You will listen more readily to a person you respect than a person you do not respect. Thank you, preacher. And I will say amen to you later. Thank you. I'm glad there's a preacher in the room. Pastor Seth says amen quietly. And there's other preachers over there. Help me out. But at any rate, we are given children. And children are heritage of the Lord. They are a gift. A gift that God gives us, and we are stewards of those children. They're God's heritage. And we are there to help them get close to that God that gave them to us. Because ultimately every one of us belongs to Him. It says so in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. We don't own ourselves. We don't belong to ourselves. We belong to Him, for He has bought us. And so we are mandated as Christian family and as a Christian parent that we are to influence our children for God and influence them to the point that they get to know God. All right, they know the Word of God. They know the Church of God. They got to know the salvation that is in Jesus Christ, and they know the Holy Ghost and how the Holy Ghost work with them being a child of God. It's true that the concept of respect is unraveling in today's society. I don't think we know what it means anymore. We have a generation that doesn't know what it is, let alone practice it. As Christians, we cannot simply be like everyone else. All right? We're called unto God to be conformed to His image, to be like Jesus. And so we can't just follow society in its rampant disrespect of anything holy, of anything that is established by God. Authority today is ridiculed and criticized, and at most have a prejudice against already. Even if that particular authority is trying to do right, no human authority is perfect, and we have to understand that. And so no human parent is perfect. But yet there is a disdain for anybody telling somebody what to do in the sense of God-given, instituted authority. We look at authority and question them. We look at authority and the way they run things and we complain. We have a heart sometimes against authority already. Why is that? Where is that coming from? Where is that from? It's not from the Lord. He established authority very clear to us in Romans chapter number 13 and verse number 1. See, there's an implication in how you act as you raise children. They will copy what you do. And they will mimic your spirit and your ideologies. They will adopt into their own lives. And so our society has been that way long ago, but now it's coming much to fruition. And we're against everything that was established to be true and right. And now we have a society that calls good, oh, that's not good, that's bad. And we have a society that calls bad, oh, that's not bad, that's good. And everybody seems to be doing that which is right in their own eyes, to the point that we decide if we're male or female. It's our decisions at the moment given. We have gone far away from the truth of the Word of God. And as your preacher, raising children in this generation, I am about battle uphill on my personal life with my children and my wife. And I can't bear to say that you're in the same boat. And so this is dear to my heart. We're going to have a rally here, September 20th. Brother Caleb Crone, I respect him, a young man I've seen grown up in raising a family of his own. And he believes truths from Scripture. And I would encourage anybody that have a teenager, please, if you're not accustomed to coming, be here on September 20th, Friday night. And we will have a good time. We'll have food. We'll have dessert. And we'll have a good young man preach the truth of the Word of God. And he'll bring in his church. According to the last time I talked to him, he's bringing the entire clan over there, the teenager from Southeast. So let's be a good host to them. If you don't know who they are, they're the one that hosts our camp that we go to. And just in my mind here, and dealing with parents that have teenagers, and it seems that maybe the Lord is trying to help us. I'm including myself in this, okay? Because I'm raising teenagers right now. We are not born respectful. There's not some people that are born respectful and others are not. We are not born respectful. We are innate sinful people, all right? We are taught to be respectful. It has to be somebody taking the responsibility and say, there's a young lady here and a young man over here, and I'm going to impart to them what it means to be respectable and to show respect. It doesn't come by osmosis, and people are not just born respectful. They have to be taught it, okay? We most often associate disrespect with the teen years. It seems like that's when we talk about, oh, yeah. And we think when they're teenagers, oh, they're rebels. We have that in our mind. However, we must realize that the seeds of rebellion did not start when they became teenagers. It started much earlier. This vital truth should motivate us to cultivate respect when they are still young. Work with them to know what it means to respect. And teach them the principles from the Word of God about respect. And the Bible is not silent with that. And actually, Bible words use our honor. The word honor is synonymous with the word respect. There are many contributing factors why teenagers rebel. There's many. including the free will of every person to follow the Lord or to reject authority. Every one of us can choose to do wrong. In the same token, every one of us can choose to do right. So I'm not exempting the choice of that particular individual, that particular teenager. But it seems that teenagers are known, that's the time that they start to show to you some of their philosophy and some of their thinking is starting to show. Why? Because they're developing into an individual. When they're young, they're more dependent upon you to do things. But when they become an adult, there's some decisions now that are coming their way. And if you're a good parent, you want them to make those decisions themselves. Don't make every decision for your kids. You have to learn when it's time for them to make some decisions, because that will help them in adulthood later. All right? You can't make all the decisions for them. You have to guide them by the Word of God, by the Holy Ghost, so that they can start making some decisions and at the time appropriate in their age. Okay? 13 years old, can I say this to you, should not be deciding if they have a girlfriend or not. That's not appropriate at that time. In the sense of a romantic relationship. By all means, I don't have a problem with teenage boys having friends that are girls. It's weird if they don't. It's unnatural if they don't. Do you not yourself as an adult have to live with the opposite gender? In every form, we go to the store. If you teach your boys properly how to treat a young lady, they will not be weird. We don't teach our young boys to stay away from all those girls. And they grow up not knowing even how to stand in the same room with them. There's nothing wrong with girls, teenage girls, having friends that are boys, as long as it's not romantic in nature. Romance doesn't come until they're ready to pay for romance. Anybody that's been married for any length of time knows romance costs. Thank you, brother. Somebody's paying attention. Somebody's paying attention. So that's an example. You know, I'm not going to talk to my daughter about romance at this time. But I'm willing to talk to her about some things that she sees in the church or in places that she goes, at camp and other places, that she might be noticing some young man. And in proper context, I should be, as the parent, be at utmost center stage in that development in her heart. She should not be learning that from the TV. She should not be learning that from the episodes. She should be learning that from me and her mama. I'm telling you, the world has duped us and has taken some of those parenting away from us. And you know, your children are wanting your opinion on some things when they were 7 and 8, but you didn't have time. And I know some of you have raised and you have making. I don't want you to feel guilty if you made some mistake. I just need to preach this because I feel like it will help us. And I'm not perfect. I'm not even close to knowing everything. And the more I know, the more I don't know. So there's some factors I'm going to look at. It's not conclusive in these 7 things, but I'm going to look at 7 things, factors that often are present in a teenager's life when they rebel. These 7 things you can find, either one of them, 2 of them, 3 of them, all of them, during the life of a teenager when they seem to you showing you disrespect and rebelling. All right? And some of this might be true to you, and just bear with me here in a little bit. So like I said, this is taken from some of the notes that I have here and other places, but some of them are taken from Making Homework by Dr. Paul Chappell. I just want to acknowledge that I don't want to be plagiarizing. So number 1, here's a factor. We want our kids to learn respect and be respectable and be respectful. And so here's some things that undermines us helping them in our parenting. And so watch out for these things. And if they're happening in your life, please be honest and try to rectify them and fix them by the help of the Holy Ghost. All right? Number one, when they hear their parents criticize authority. I'm telling you, the atmosphere for criticizing authority, it is at the utmost high. Can I say it is very comfortable? They say it again. You don't believe me. It's very comfortable right now in our day to criticize anyone in any institution that say or that have the position, that hold the position of authority. Whether it be government officials, whether it be elected political figures, would it be our police officers that wear the badge, and thank you for any police officers in our day doing the right thing. Anybody that's involved in authority in human society today, I pray for you every day. Any fathers and any mothers that would stand and say, enough is enough. And any preacher that would dare say that your children are wicked and they need help. And the Bible has the answer. And preaches some things that may be uncomfortable and maybe not line stream. It might not be a Sunday morning message. But some of you don't come any other time. So guess what? I'm going to preach it this morning. I'm just honest. You're honest with me. I'm honest with you. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. I love you. But if I can't get you the truth, how in the world are you going to get the truth? Authority is unpopular. And authority has been lessened to this. They serve me. But that is true, but not in the extent you think it's true. You think, and our society thinks, that that means they do everything I want. No. We serve you for your good, for your betterment. And if you're going to do something that is going to hurt you and hurt somebody else and help a group of people because you want something that you want, guess what? The authority, if they're responsible, whether it is popular or not, will stand and say, no, it is not good for you nor anybody around you. And so they get ridiculed. It's not good for you guys to go into a store, as California tells us, that you can steal $1,000 worth of stuff and walk away scot-free with no consequence. Somebody's paying for that $1,000 worth of stuff that you stole. And somebody's watching you and saying, if he does it, I'm going to do it too. And then you're going to raise a generation that no longer will be responsible to stock the store full of goods for other people to steal because everybody's just stealing. You know, for you to steal something, that means somebody worked for it and somebody paid for it, somebody planned to get it, and they have it now. So if you lose those people, pretty soon you got nothing else to steal. So all those thieves out there, think about that in your longevity. Let us not in our church criticize authority. I appreciate my pastor. He's been my pastor for a very long time. I consider him my pastor. Was he perfect? No. Did he try to do right? Absolutely. Absolutely. Did he know everything that was best for the particular season? No. And guess what? This pastor coming behind him doesn't either. And guess what? I'm going to make boo-boos. I'm going to make error in judgment because I don't see the entire picture. And I'm seeking God. And I'm sure Pastor Cole did when he was the pastor. Sought God. Every time I turned to him and say, Pastor, can you help me? Give me advice on this situation. He looked at me. I honestly don't know. And he was very, very honest about that. If he knows, he'll give me some truth from Scripture. And he doesn't scary from those. And he's been a great advisor. for me as I pastor us in this time. But I'm learning, wow, I need God. And I need the Holy Ghost. And I'm trying to impart that to you parents. I pray that you are not coasting into this and saying, I know it. I know what I'm doing. And you, by coasting, are blinded and distracted from pitfalls in your raising your children. Because you're not taking it in some way seriously. You cannot coast in raising a child. You have to be actively involved and participating in their decisions. And you can. They'll let you if you earn respect. Some of us are doing backpedaling when they're 7 and 8. We didn't have time. Now they're making some major decisions at 17, 18, 19. And then they're hitting 20, 24. And now that's when you're parenting. And when they look at you like, where were you a decade ago? I don't want that for me. And I don't want that for you that are raising children. They are needed now. You are needed now. You cannot live selfish lives as parents. You cannot live selfish lives as parents and ignore the problems of your children at 7, 8, and 9 because they have a way of visiting you when they're 17, 18, 19, and they'll visit you even up to their 30s and 40s. And some of them, they'll linger with you until God calls us all home. And so this is so, so important. 1 Peter 2:17, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. That's a full pack of verse. I don't have time. Romans 13:7, render therefore to all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom. Fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. 1 Timothy 6:1, I'm going to rattle up a bunch of verses. If you want to write them down, you can. 1 Timothy 6:1, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters. Talking about employer, employee. Count their own masters worthy of all honor. Especially they who labor in the word, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. In the church, having pastors, 1 Timothy 5:7, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. If you want to find a point or an area in a leader's life to criticize, let me tell you, it is not going to be hard. It is not going to be hard. It's going to be very easy. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's fumbling. What in the world is he thinking? It's not going to be hard. I'm not excusing their incompetence. I'm not excusing them not being prepared. I'm not excusing them. They need to be better on that. Absolutely. They need to be held accountable for that. Absolutely. I'm not downing that. But we have come on the other side. When we have made them accountable now, we have come to the other side of it, and now we have come to distrust anybody that's in authority. That's not right either. We're on the other side of it now. We don't even know who they are, but yet, oh yeah, they're all the same. Oh yeah. Wait a minute now. I think you have made an error in judgment. You don't know them, but yet you have that spirit towards them. And when you're grilling your children and you're talking to them this way, they're going to develop those same spirit about their leaders. If every night you come home from work and talk about your boss in a way you never would to his face, and if every Sunday lunch you talk about the mistakes the pastor is making, if you take sides with your children in criticizing his teachers at school, anywhere, in the church, Sunday school, junior church, his teachers, or coaches, don't be surprised when your child disrespects you. Hearing your disrespect authorities, no matter how justified it seems or how much your children agree with you, plants seeds of disrespect in their hearts. I'll remind you this in Romans 13:1. If you're in any authority, if you're in any position of leadership, please memorize Romans chapter number 13 and verse number 1. Because any authority is founded upon one being, and that is God Almighty. You know why people are so upset about God? Because God is a God of His Word. And He doesn't put up with anything that we can try to manipulate Him out of what He does. He is true to His Word to the point He honors the Word of God, and He lives a very ethical, principle-based life. When you read the scripture, if you know God at any length of time, He does not change. And He's very clear to you to tell you what He believes about certain topics and certain issues, and He will not change for anybody. He will not change for anybody. He believes and He teaches that Jesus Christ is the way to salvation. He's not going to change now and say, oh yeah, if you don't want Jesus, then you can just trust somebody else. You want to trust Buddha? Is that your thing now? All right, go to Buddha. And for just this period of time, I'm going to have Buddha have the same right as Jesus. No, He's not going to do that. He's a man of His Word, and He's true to the Word that He has spoken because He is truth. He can't lie. And so when He does that, He lives by a moral principle. And so as Christians, He is the authority. And guess what? At the end of it all, every human authority, as much as the human authority, we all are subject to His authority. There is only one authority, and that's God. And so when you criticize this, when you criticize authority, in essence, you are shooting your foot, your own foot. So when you criticize the preacher, because he represents authority in your children's life or your teacher, guess what? How are you going to now teach? How are you going to now make it clear to your children now, why do I just obey you, mom and dad, and I can't obey pastor, and I can't obey the police officer? Why do I just have to obey you? What makes you special that I have to obey you? And you have no other place to go, but you're going to go to Romans 13, chapter number 1. Because that's the source of authority. All of us go to that. As your pastor, I have to go to that verse and that truth. And so when you're there, and you criticize other authorities, and mind you, even husband and wife, mother and fathers don't agree on everything, and so that happens in the home, and father says one thing, mother says another thing, and you breed confusion to the children, and now they're left to make some hard choices. Who are they going to obey? And when you criticize authority as a whole atmosphere, you criticize authority, then you're shooting yourself in the foot, parents. So next time you're going to about to criticize their youth director. The next time you're going to criticize their junior church teacher. The next time you're going to criticize their Sunday school. You better be careful how you approach that. And I'm not saying for you not to defend your children and be watching for what your children are saying to you. All right, because humans make mistakes and even authority makes mistakes. We're not perfect. I'm trying to tell you that. But don't make a judgment without even talking to an authority. If an authority has offended you in that they offended your child, it is your obligation and responsibility to talk to that particular authority that has offended your children and say, hey, there is a problem. Something came up. We want to talk to you in the spirit of humility, in the spirit of cooperation, in the spirit of reconciliation, in the spirit of no prejudice. But as a teammate player and say, hey, let's work on this with this child. But if you're a parent that criticizes, I don't like how he opened up his sermon. Why are we doing this? Why is this the color of our curtains? I don't know why the town decided that we need to have those flowers. And you might be reaping in your family your open criticism to authority. And you're raising children that says, if you can criticize authority, then I can surely criticize authority. And might as well, mom and dad, might as well. Because you're the most I spend the most time with you as my authority in my life right now because I live in your home. Let me start with you. Dad, I don't like this about you. Mom, why? You find in teenagers that rebel, you find a factor in there that somewhere in their life, somebody has been criticizing authority. Hope to God it's not you. Parent, hope to God it's not you. It doesn't solve anything. Number two, there's no way I'm going to finish my message. I got 7 points. I'm on point number two. You know how it goes around here. We'll revisit it next time. I'm going to finish number two tonight, this morning. Number two. Not only number one, when they hear parents criticize authority. Another place you find a factor that's involved in teenagers having rebellious spirit to their parents is number two, when they see parents violating scripture. When they see parents violating scripture. We said earlier there's no perfect parent, correct? So parents, let's just be real about it with them. Don't put on a facade that you always know everything as a parent. And you treat your children as subordinate creatures. And you don't show them respect. And you say you're stupid. Do you not know? What happens when they see you blatantly do something stupid? What are you going to do now? Because you never do anything stupid, Mom. You never do anything stupid, Dad. What are you going to do now to your children? Because you demean them so much and you don't show any respect to their people, by the way. And we don't respect our children. Now they caught you doing something stupid. What are you going to do now? We don't talk about it. I'm right, I'm dead, I'm right. You think that's going to affect your children? Let me tell you, if you're not sure, it will. And it's affecting them very badly. It is hurting them very badly. Now, so you have 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds walking away from some of the things that you fundamentally grew up believing. They're walking away from it. And they're saying, it's not true. It's not true. Because at church they do all of that, but at home they don't. And when they get caught, they have no humility to tell their children, I'm a human being that makes mistakes, just like you, my son. I'm just a little older, and I'm sorry. I am so sorry that I failed you and I made a mistake. I'm going to try by the grace of God to do better. I'll find somebody to help me. And they see you actively do something to rectify the mistakes. And by being genuine, genuinely honest with your children, I think it'll go a long ways to your children. They know you made mistakes. You're not hiding anything. You're not hiding anything, guys. I know, because my kids are brutally honest with me. They tell me. But you know why? Because I have opened that atmosphere for them. They're not disrespecting me at that time when I get caught doing something that violates scripture. I'm glad that my kids have boldness enough to say, Dad, you know that's wrong. And they tell me. Oh, no, kids have no business of saying anything. Well, if it's age, guys, you need to get a new pastor. Because I'm way younger than some of you. If it ages the matter before I can say anything authoritative from the Word of God, I can only pastor young kids. Because even though I'm 39, in heart, I'm a 12-year-old boy. You're in big trouble. That's why I love Pastor Cole being around. He helps me out. It's been a blessing, teamwork, and just there's been some good things from people outside looking in and concerned about our church and asking. And it's just been so good. They say it's been so good. Pastor, thank you. It's been so good. It's been so good. Got a good testimony outside, guys, that we're trying to do the Bible way. Transferring from a pastor to the next. I think we're doing it the best possible way. We're not perfect. But I think I'm happy where we are. And I can ask pastor, I think he would say the same. It's been very good. What's happening is the things that I'm lacking, he's good at. And the things that sometimes he forgets, because he does have no, pastor has no fault. I sometimes remember. And then pastor said, it's just been fabulous working with him, Brother Frank and Shannon. And then all the volunteered leadership here at Junior Church. It's just been so good. We made mistake. Yeah, it was moving up day. Supposed to be, I guess, today, but we're doing it next week. And all of, it's just the way it goes. So I'll say to you, I'm sorry. I need to do better. I'll make notes. John 13:15. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Jesus said that when talking about washing the disciples' feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done unto you. Let us, in the same manner, the same spirit, be a servant parents to our children and give them respect for being a human being. And by doing so, teach them to respect you and others around them. 1 Peter 2:21, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Romans 12:17, recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men, parents, that includes your children. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. There's some things you probably can't talk about to your children because the nature of that particular incident, you can't have to divulge. You have to use discernment. But when they caught you doing something wrong, it would not be wrong for you to learn to apologize and ask for forgiveness for being a sinful individual. And then have them pray for you. Pray for your dad. He gets short-tempered with you. It's not a good thing to react that way. It's not a good thing to have this kind of attitude. I had an attitude with your mother today. I am sorry, children, that I had an attitude with your mother today. Why? Why is that so important? Because they see it. And if you don't acknowledge it, it's not going to hide it away. And in fact, some children put it as a part of their life, and they're learning how to treat, you know, your boys, gentlemen, are learning how to treat ladies based on how you treat your wife and your daughters. And moms, your daughters are learning how to treat men the way you treat men in your home. We are not perfect, so don't pretend to be. You will earn your children's respect by being genuine. Apologize when you make a mistake. Ask for prayer as you strive to change with God's help. I know my children know this and they don't talk about it because we protect one another. There's another principle called loyalty. And a lot of us need to learn that. We're not loyal to sin, but we're loyal to each other and help each other grow. If sin needs to be brought up, that's another subject. I'm going to preach another thing. But at home, I know some of my children that are a little bit older know some of my frailties. And there has been a conversation a time or two that they know that I've asked them, please pray for your dad in this regard. If you ask my children, please don't. I don't want you embarrassing my kid. And don't be nosy. Come on, talk to me. Talk to me. Don't talk to them. If you want to really find out because you want to talk about it, my kids know where dad fails. Parents, especially if you're raising teenagers, it'll shock them, but take them out somewhere with kindness and ask them. I know you love your dad, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to tell me. Where do you think I fail as a father? Who's willing to do that? You don't have to raise your hand. But you think that would be a good thing to do? Absolutely. Absolutely. And your kids are going to tell you some things you know already. And it would be good for you to acknowledge it to them. Because when God finally gives you the victory, you know, your kids will say, I know Dad had a hard time, but I know God helped them. And I have the same tendency. And if my God, my dad's God is big enough to help me, and he's my God too, he's going to help me too. And what a powerful, powerful, powerful influence as a father and mother you will have at that point. Man, I told you, parenting has really revealed how wicked I am. Wow. Ask for prayers as you strive to change with God's help. If you come across like you are never wrong to your children, especially teenagers, when they start to make some reasoning about things, and they start to question why you do what you do, then let me say to them, you are lying. If you come across like you have never done anything wrong, you don't acknowledge when you make a mistake, and if you do make a mistake, even if it's blatant, you don't address it. You just kind of skip over it, and hopefully nobody noticed. And if you're like that, what happens is your children says to you, you are a hypocrite. You are a liar. And know this, even though your kids will never say it to you, they know. And if you're brave, like I said earlier, if you're brave, if you have young adult parents here, you have raising young adults or you have young adults, if you've never done it, you still have time. Go ask some of them. Where did I fail you, my son? Where did I do wrong? How can I be better? We got four more. We got a bunch more. We got five more things, and I don't have the time. We got baptism. Let's pray. Think about this. When teenagers have rebellion in them, these are some of the factors. Number one, when they hear you criticize other authorities. When they feel, when they see parents violating scriptures. And they're not honest about it, okay? Pastor Cole's going to come. We're going to get ready for baptism. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for your truth of your word. Help us as parents. Pray that you'd give us a mind to be humble and always learning. And guide us, Lord, and as we raise our children, we can't do it at all without you. And Lord, we need you. And bless our baptism and our time remaining in Jesus' name. Amen.